Hey, there's a bit happening in the world of golf, and who better to talk to about that than the great Mike Clayton, who's been good enough to join us on the line this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Morning. How is it?
Well, it's well. How is it with you?
Good. All good.
Excellent. Now, there's a bit happening at the moment. We had Minji win on the weekend, which was fantastic. Her seventh PGA Tour title, first one this year. We've got the US PGA being played this week in the States, and we've got the LIV Golf Tour, the Saudi-backed golf tour that Greg's talking about as well, front and centre. What's the main topic for you? If you're talking to golf about, sorry, talking to anyone about golf at the moment, where would you start?
Well, I guess you start with Norman and the Saudi Tour and what's going to happen with that? It's going to inevitably, the tour's not going to give releases to the members to play, so that'll finish up in court. Who knows who wins that? I suspect the Norman's guys think that's a slam dunk case, so we'll see. I mean, it was interesting. Apparently, they offered Jack Nicklaus $100 million to come work for them, and he said, no thanks. So that'll tell you something.
It tells you a fair bit. If you go back 40 years or so, Mike, World Series cricket came along and sort of disrupted the institution, I suppose, that was cricket at the time. Is this a similar moment, do you think, for golf?
Well, it was, except cricketers were wildly underpaid. And, it was a joke. I mean, the golfers have never made more money than they've made now. So that's the difference. These guys make fortunes. So, and sure, they could, if you have Saudi money, you can play for unlimited cash because they've got unlimited amounts of it. But, the difference between cricket and golf is that Dennis DeLee and Graham Marsh and the Chappell brothers are selling out the MCG and getting $1,500 a game. And that's not the way the golf world is now. These guys have, as I said, they've never made more money than they have now.
Are you surprised that Greg's put his name to this? There seems to be an amazing reaction from most people in golf, and Wayne Grady was super strong the other day with his contempt for it. Are you surprised that he's gone this far?
Honestly, no. I mean, Greg tried to, with Rupert Murdoch, tried to get a World Tour going in the mid-90s, and the PGA Tour killed that off by starting up the World Golf Championships, which, curiously, for World Golf Championships, only ever seemed to be played in America. But not really, because, my issue is that Peter Thomson had the right concept of a world tour. He understood that there weren't enough jobs in America and the game needed to create jobs and tours outside of the US. And he walked the walk. He went and played in Asia. He played in Japan. He played in Europe. He played in Australia. Never took a cent of appearance money and properly promoted the game around the world. I mean, Greg's just, as far as I can tell, doing it for money. So, I think a world tour would be great if it was funded properly, not by people who execute 80 people in the town square, and by playing around the world on great courses. So you would create 30 or 35 great national opens and PGA championships around the world. That would be a proper world tour. And if you could attract, it might take you 30 years, but if you could attract the best non-American players, it'd be the best tour in the world. Because the PGA Tour, frankly, I think it's incredibly boring now. I think so many people are over watching the same players wearing the same clothes, playing the same courses every single week. It's not the great tour that I thought it was in the 70s when it was really, it was populated by characters and different courses, and because it wasn't on TV every single week, you couldn't wait to watch it. Now it's just an overexposed product that I think everyone, not everyone's over it, but I think increasingly people are realizing how dull and boring it all gotten to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Mike, for some of the younger Australian players that might be tempted by the LIV Tour, because there is so much money up for grabs and you can finish last and still earn $150,000, is it something that you would encourage the Australian players to do that don't have a spot on either the PGA Tour or the European Tour, or would you sort of guard against that?
Well, I think if you don't have a spot in the PGA Tour or the European Tour, it's going to be awfully hard to get into those tournaments. I mean, Jed Morgan won the PGA and won the main list, so, who am I to tell a 22-year-old kid to pass off $1 million that he'll make this year if he finishes last every week? That's obviously it's fine for Jack Nicklaus to knock back $100 million, but for kid who's starting out on his road in pro golf, it's difficult to say, don't go and play for $1 million. So, you know, that's their own decision to make. I saw Matt Fitzpatrick's brother decided not to. He's a young pro who passed up the chance to go and play in London whenever they're playing, you know, in June 9 to 12, I think it is.
Yep.
So that's their own moral decision to make, I guess. But, you know, it's awfully tough to tell a 22-year-old to pass up on $1 million a year because that can transform their life and their career. So that's their own choice, really.
Yeah, and he's the one that I was sort of alluding to. We were talking about this on the golf course last week about these young guys. It's hard to tell them not to, considering the amount of money that they can set up their lives. It's a really difficult situation for those guys.
Yeah, it is. So that's their own choice. But, you know, I think that the thing for Jed is that he's exempt in Europe next year because he won the Order of Merit here this year. So he doesn't have a card this year. So he's not in the position that the tour players are, that, well, if you go and play that tour, we're going to ban you from playing this tour. So he's kind of got a free pass this year to play that without it affecting his status on the European Tour for next year. Mm. So I don't know what the European Tour plan to do with these guys who are playing. The PGA Tour has made it pretty clear they're going to ban anyone who does. So the lawyers are the only ones who win out of that because that's where it's going to finish up. But, you know, at this point, they don't have any of the really top players. They're all sticking with the PGA Tour. So, you know, at some point, Greg's got to put an event on, show us what he's got, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, the European one is the interesting one with the likes of Poulter and Westwood and Keimer and Donald. These are the ones that have been sort of linked to the tour. What pressure that puts on the European tour, because they're the, I know they've been around a long time, but they're the kind of headline acts week in, week out
Well, not really. I mean, those guys don't play the European tour anymore. They'll live in America and play in America. So, you know, Westwood plays a few, Poulter plays a few, but the European tour is a 40-event season or whatever it is. And those guys wouldn't play more than three events each on that tour. And Sergio's the other one. So, but they're all guys who are past their best. They're past winning major championships. Some of them have been divorced. Some of them might need the cash, amazingly. So, what do you do?
Yeah. Tough one.
It is. But, yeah, you know, it's all a distraction from the PGA this week, which is way more interesting. They're playing a great course at Southern Hills. Tiger's playing, and he's still the most interesting guy in golf. Everyone who's seen him play practice rounds this week say he's playing not as well as ever because no one ever played that well, you know, but he's still playing pretty well. So he, you know, he's still a fascination. No Mickelson, which is interesting. He's been unsighted since the middle of February. A bunch of terrific Australian players. Min Ji won last week, as you said. Min Woo's playing this week. Her brother, who's a great player. I love watching him play golf. So he played well at Augusta. So he's I think there were 9 Australians playing. He's the most interesting one to watch because he's a great player to watch play golf. When he comes out and plays the Australian Open this year at Victoria and Kensington Heath, he's a guy to watch.
Yeah, we do love watching Min Woo do his business, and we can't wait to see him in action at Southern Hills. We have run out of time, Mike. We can talk for another hour, I reckon, but we know you've got stuff to do as well, so we won't do that. Appreciate your time. We'll look forward to chatting soon.
Thanks, guys. See ya.